I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Agatha Samoa. In the headlines, the senior national team, the Black Stars, flee Guinea in their last Group D match in Franceville this evening. President Mills still against homosexuality. One of the two surviving victims of the suspected arson in Kumasi discharged from hospital. National Media Commission launches guidelines for political coverage. And World Bank predicts decline in global food prices this year. First, the summary with Jonathan Thompson.
The senior national team, the Black Stars, are set to face their Guinean counterparts at Franceville as the Africa Cup of Nations enters its last round of group matches today. Given a preview of the match in an interview with Radio Ghana, sports analyst Carl Tofor expressed optimism that the Stars will sail through to the next stage of the tournament. President John Evans Atta Mills says he still stands by his position not to give in to homosexuality. He is positive that the will of the people will rule supreme in this issue. Addressing the media on his return from the AU summit in Ethiopia, President Mills said calls from the international community on African leaders to accommodate homosexuality can be made over and over again, but Ghana will maintain its position. And a surviving victim of Monday's suspected arson at Breman Kwenchima in Kumasi has been treated and discharged from the Komfanoche Teaching Hospital. The other victim is said to be responding to treatment. Meanwhile, the death toll still remains at 5.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are Total.
The news in detail, and we begin with football. The last round of group matches comes off later today as the ongoing Orange Africa Cup of Nations, which is being hosted by Equatorial Guinea and Gabon. Group D leaders Ghana's Black Stars come face to face with second place Guinea in Franceville, while Mali takes on bottom place Botswana at the same time in Libreville. Sports analyst Carl Tofor tells Radio Ghana's Rosemary Gazy that the Ghana-Guinea match is a done deal for the Stars.
For Ghana to be eliminated, they would have to lose by 4-0 to Guinea, and Mali would have to win at least 1-0 or win by any margin against Botswana. And I can't foresee Ghana losing 4-0 to any team, let alone Guinea.
What game plan would you then suggest to Goran in this last group game, taking cognizance of the fact that mathematically Ghana has not qualified yet?
Mathematically, Ghana has not qualified yet, but when it's 99.999% certain, then you would want to expect that he would come in with a game plan, look at players who are on yellow cards and decide whether it's worth the risk of putting them in or not. And then you've got to also take an advantage to look at one or two other players. So the responsibility is with him.
Ghana's captain John Mensah and Vosa were penalized and so missed the initial matches. But some fans are saying Jonathan Mensah and John Boy were a good pair as the defense in the absence. Now, which of these would you recommend to start the last group game and why?
In light of what has happened, I probably want to maintain the same pair of Boy and Mensah to continue the good work they've done. There's really nothing much at stake now. To give them the opportunity to stake a claim and see how it is and how they can continue to play the game the way it should be played. Then when you get to the quarterfinal, then you can think about those worries. So
some soccer fans are already getting disappointed with Ghana's number one poacher at the tournament. What do you personally make of Adam Kwarasi?
There seems to be a problem with his ability to go for crosses and things, and that is something that the goalkeeping coach Eddie Hansa has to work on. If we can see these flaws, then surely he must be able to see those flaws as well. So it's for him to work on it and make sure that, because as a goalkeeper, you don't go out and you don't go jump into pick up a ball when you're not 100% certain of getting it, and other than that you start on the goal line, and I'm sure the answer will have to work on it. If he doesn't, then I don't know what his role in the team is then.
You may not agree with me, but Ghana is not there yet. But which team would you prefer that the stars meet at the quarterfinals, the North Africans, Tunisia, or neighboring Gabon?
As it stands right now, Gabon have topped the group, and then Tunisia are second. And obviously, Ghana tops the group, they're going to meet Tunisia. And I suspect Ghana will top the group anyway, so it's going to be Tunisia. But I really couldn't care whether it's Gabon or not. You should stop this thing off. This one looks easier. They said about Equatorial Guinea, that's what they said about Gabon, and look what's happened.
You heard sports analyst Carl Tufour. Meanwhile, sports writer and football commentator Kwadna Yabua, who is with the team in France Row, says morale in camp is very high, though the stars are a confident side. Mr. Yabua says they must be cautioned because the Guineans have demonstrated that they are not an easy side, indicating that the two teams are equally matched. The A's football commentator says he expects some changes in the lineup, with goalkeeper Adam Carson and captain John Mensah as probable victims.
The boys are very, very high spirits, and let them understand that the whole nation would be offering them unflinching and unalloyed support. So fortunately, there are no major injury problems. Our spirit very, very high. You have to be here to appreciate what spirit they find themselves.
Do you have an idea about Ghana's starting lineup for the last group game with Guinea?
I think we're going to have a number of changes in this team. People should not be surprised if Kwasi, for instance, is changed. The goalkeeper Strenado Dansah still has total confidence in the player. He didn't have a particularly exciting game in the game against Mali, but the boy honestly came out to make sincere admissions about the fact that he was a bench treat. This is the first time he's playing on a big African platform like the Africa Cup of Nations, and his judgment and timing, especially with aerial situations, left much to be desired. After that, he's been worked on, but there could be changes out there. If Danaje keeps the post, I would not be surprised, but the goalkeeper Strenas still has confidence in him. But I think the major change that we will see is that Philip Ontari would be starting from the bench, and in his place with Samalinkum, who will be playing on the right side. But in central defense, you know that Isaac Bossa has completed his ban, so he returns to central defense. Unfortunately, the captain of the side, John Mensah, is not likely to start this particular game. So in central defense, we likely John Boy on the right as a right half back, and in central defense, we'll have Isaac Bossa on the left side, Masaudi, and John Pinson on the right side. Anthony Anna will retain his position. So together with Emmanuel Ajiman Badu, the team would now shift to the left side all the attack instead of the right side where you operated from in the game against Mali. And Asamoah will be on top of the attack to be supported by Kojo Asamoah with Samalenkum playing on the right side. All being equal, this is the team that I've been saying from the training sessions. And let me emphasize that the coach has not given out a starting lineup. From the little experience I have in football and judging from the training sessions, this is the team that looks probable, representing the nation against Guinea.
With these probable changes, would you say Ghana-Guinea in the last group game would be a done deal for Ghana?
Not at all. I'm amazed. There are no done deals in this tournament. I mean, every team is qualified on merit.
Any predictions? Ghana-Guinea.
It's always very, very tough. There's something that pundits always shy away from. Football is saying that the pendulum of fortune could swing either way. But talking as a patron, of course, I would be happiest person to see Ghana win. But on the balance of play, I must say that the two teams are equally matched.
Football commentator Kwadna Yabua in that interview with Rosemary Gazy, and we wish the Black Stars well. Still on football, Gabon have affirmed their position on top of Group C in the ongoing Africa Cup of Nations in Franceville. They beat Tunisia 1-0 in their final Group C match. Gabon, with massive home support and a favorable referee from Cote d'Ivoire, played tough throughout the match. Both teams missed some great chances in the first half that ended 0-0. Upon resumption, Gabon changed their strategy, which paid off in the 61st minute with the only goal through goal Porter Aubameyang. Towards the end of the second half, Tunisia missed several chances to equalize. At a point, the match nearly got fistic, but the referee managed to calm nerves. Tunisia ended the group in second place with 6 points, while Gabon went away with the 9 maximum points. In the second Group C match, Morocco beat Niger by a lone goal to pick up the 3 points. Unfortunately, this did not qualify them for the quarterfinals.
President John Evans Atta Mills says he still stands by his position not to give in to homosexuality. He is positive that the will of the people will rule supreme in this issue. Addressing the media on his return from the AU summit in Ethiopia, President Mills said calls from the international community on African leaders to accommodate homosexuality can be made over and over again, but Ghana will maintain its position. President Mills' comments were in response to the call by the UN Secretary General on African leaders at the EU summit to respect gay rights. Gloria Anderson has the details.
The voice by Western leaders in support of gay rights in Africa went mute at the close of last year, following a strong backlash against the warning by Prime Minister David Cameron to tie British aid to respect for gay rights. UN General Secretary Ban Ki-moon reignited the issue at the AU summit in Addis Ababa with a call on African leaders to respect gay rights. President John Atta Mills said he is not surprised by the call and insists that on issues of gay rights, Ghana's position will always be the same.
We have made our position well known. Ghanaian society frowns upon homosexuality. And everybody has been telling us that democracy means governance for the people, by the people, and the interests of the people. If the people's interest is that we do not legalize homosexuality, I don't see how any responsible leader can decide to go against the wishes of his people. I heard very clearly what the Secretary General said, but I wasn't a bit surprised because of where he is currently in New York and all that. I don't have the chance to look at the faces of my colleagues as when he appeared to be addressing. So we only listen to it. We've all made our positions known. Nobody can say that in Ghana we discriminate against homosexuals. There's no witch hunting for homosexuals. Nobody is going from place to place trying to identify homosexual. Nobody has ever been denied a job in this country because he's a homosexual. And that is their own problem. So when people talk about discrimination, they must be talking about, some other societies. We don't do it. And therefore, you only listen. And then we move on. So the Secretary General has made his views known. We have also made our views known. So the value is the same.
President Atta Mills expressed appreciation to AU for recognizing the efforts of Ghana's first president, Dr. Kwame Nkrumah. He described the summit as successful, saying although African leaders are positive on promoting intra-African trade, it will not be possible if political conflicts continue in some countries. He said promoting intra-African trade will be beneficial to all Africans if constraints are addressed.
We do not have the productive infrastructure that we need. And I cited the example that we don't have adequate roads linking us. But even where we have the roads, there are far too many checkpoints. And we extract official and unofficial fees and charges from transporters. And these fees and charges swell up the cost. So it makes our goods expensive and unattractive as compared with imported goods. By the way, number of contributions. And we all agree that there's a need for us to seriously consider how we can boost our intra-African trade. We have the potential, we have the willingness, and there's no reason why we should not be able to improve on the current situation.
He commended the Black Stars for their brilliant performance in their games played so far. He said all the African leaders showed admiration for Ghana's achievements. President Mills believes the Black Stars will win the African Cup and ask Ghanaians to pray for them.
For some reason, colleagues have some admiration for Ghana because of what we've been able to achieve. You could sense that very, very easily. Of course, the brilliance of the Black Stars is one of the contributing factors. And I believe that even though many of them would not admit it, surely all decided to sneak out when the Black Stars were playing against Mali. I know that many of them also know that the eventual winners are going to be the Black Stars. We are very much impressed with them, and I want to use this occasion to wish them well and ask Ghanaians to pray for them.
President Atta-Mills was met on arrival by Vice President John Mahama and some top government officials.
Gloria Anderson reporting. AU leaders have adopted the concept of an African continental free trade area aimed at improving trade among member countries. They agreed that there is a need to put in place measures and improve infrastructure such as roads, sea and airports, as well as the establishment of a common custom organization to facilitate intra-African trade. Speaking to Radio Ghana's presidential correspondent Setia, Foreign Minister Alhaji Mohamed Mumuni said the challenge for ECOWAS to ensure that the concept becomes realistic is to remove all the authorized and illegal restrictions that impede free trade in the sub-region. He said this has become disincentive to the business community. Large numbers of the leaders did not give a timeline to the implementation of an African continental free trade area. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra, the major stories. The senior national team, the Black Stars, playing in the last game match in Franceville this evening. President Mills still against homosexuality. One of the two surviving victims of the suspected arson in Kumasi discharged from hospital. National Media Commission launches guidelines for political coverage. And World Bank predicts decline in global food prices this year. Do stay with us.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. The National Media Commission has asked the state-owned media to organize in-house seminars to discuss the review guidelines for fair and equitable coverage of political parties. This is to ensure non-biased reportage during this year's elections. At the launch of the reviewed guidelines for political coverage, the chairman of the Media Commission, Ambassador Kabel Bleyamihie, said this is to ensure that the media follow the mandate of promoting good governance. Mr. Bleyamihie said the state-owned media have the responsibility to ensure free, fair and peaceful elections before, during and after this year's general elections. Georgette Cole has found this report for Radio Ghana.
The workshop, which is the first, was attended by members of governing boards and chief executives of state-owned media houses and their editors. It was aimed at taking participants through the reviewed guidelines for them to ensure adequate coverage for all political parties during the electioneering. Ambassador Bleyamihie said editors and chief executives of the media are like referees with no allegiance to any political party. They must ensure that every political party gets equal representation in the media.
What we sought to achieve with this seminar is to let the media know that they have a constitutional obligation to afford all the parties, whether big or small, equal and fair opportunity to present their programs. We are saying that there should be accuracy, there should be adherence to the code of ethics. And so, insofar as the media can do this, then we'll be assured of a level playing field for all the political interest groups in this country.
Ambassador Bleyamihie said the EU report on the 2008 elections is a challenge to all state-owned media houses to improve on their reportage this year. On the issue of any state-owned media drifting from the reviewed guidelines, the chairman had this to say.
The proof of these guidelines will be what the various boards and editors do to ensure strict adherence. For our part, it will be monitoring and evaluating and assessing, and as and when necessary, we will come up with necessary findings that will be a way of encouraging people in the state-owned media to perform according to the Constitution.
Touching on the 1992 Constitution and the role of the state-owned media, a member of the Commission, Akoto Ampao, said the media is to serve society and promote public enlightenment by seeking the truth and providing a fair, balanced and comprehensive account of events. He said according to the Constitution, the media cannot be manipulated by governmental control and interference. In the light of this constitutional protection and mandate, the state-owned media have no excuse to follow a particular government's policy. He said the state-owned media have to set standards since they have a responsibility to the society as a whole.
Even as the pressure to compete for audiences might be great, our state-owned media have no business copying the crass sensationalism obsessions of the private media as a means of capturing audiences. Unfortunately, every now and again, the state-owned media tend to stoop to such an edifying level. And sometimes you wake up in the morning, you see a copy of state-owned newspaper, and you are hit by the screaming headlines. And you wonder whether this is the state-owned media or one of the yellow sheets.
Members of the four-member committee that came out with the reviewed guidelines are Professor Audrey Gajekpo of the School of Communication Studies, University of Ghana, Edward Ameyibo, formerly of the GNA, a former editor of the Daily Graphic, Elvis Aye, and the editor of the Daily Mail, Alhaji Haruna Atta.
Georgette Cole filed that report. Vice President John Dramani Mahama has again emphasized government's commitment to ensuring another peaceful and transparent election in December. The Vice President gave the assurance when he received executives of the Institute of Public Relations Ghana at the castle. The group led by his president, Major Albert Donchibi, were the castle to invite Vice President to activities marking the 40th anniversary of the Institute and to make him sign a page of the PI Book on Peace. Vice President Mahama, who is a member of the Institute of Public Relations Ghana, pledged to abide by the tenets of public relations during the campaign.
By virtue of your profession, you are placed in a position where you are experts at managing and disseminating information, especially in terms of IEC and all that. And so for you to add your voice to the calls for peace, I think that it helps prepare the grounds and the country for the election that is coming. I wish to assure you on this side that we would not do anything to disturb the peace. The government will make sure that we have a free, fair, transparent elections that Ghanaians can be proud of. I can assure you personally, I've not been a person who uses intemperate language or insults my political opponents, because they are not my enemies. They are all citizens of this country.
The president of the Institute, Major Donchibi, said the signature of the vice president solidifies his support for peaceful elections. He said the Institute will employ all tools of public relations as the nation heads towards election and to ensure that people who mount campaign platforms make speeches devoid of insults and rancor.
This year's election year, I would like to sensitize everybody to the importance of maintaining the peace and security of this country, because that is what has branded Ghana and made Ghana special in the African region. For this reason, the Institute of Public Relations, to commemorate its 40th anniversary, is going around with a book we call the PR Book of Peace.
Okay.
Your Excellency is given the honor of the second page to sign, to show your commitment to a peaceful election for 2012.
President of the Institute of Public Relations Ghana, Major Albert Donchibi. One of the two surviving burned victims of Monday's suspected arson at Bremaine Kwentuma in Kumasi has been treated and discharged from the Kofanochi Teaching Hospital. The remaining victim, named only as Ajiman, is however still receiving emergency medical care at the same hospital and is responding to treatment. The family spokesperson, Kwabena Boateng, in an interview with Radio Ghana in Kumasi, said the death toll from the fire outbreak remains at 5. He noted that the whereabouts of the prime suspect of the incident, Kwame Ajiman, is still not known after the act. Meanwhile, remains of the dead are scheduled for interment tomorrow in their hometown, Chichere, in the Seshe South District of Ashanti. The Police Force Administration says it will dispose of 120 unknown and unclaimed bodies. A statement signed by the hospital's public relations officer, Chief Inspector Julian Obeng, says the move is to decongest the hospital mortuary. The administration has therefore called on relatives and the public who have deposited dead bodies at the mortuary to identify and collect them before February 14 this year. The statement further said bodies which are not identified and collected at the stipulated period will be given a mass burial.
The Human Rights Court in Accra has again granted a 100,000 Ghana cedi bail with two sureties to DSP Gifty Mawenyega Tehudawi at the center of the cocaine swapping saga. DSP Tehudawi was remanded in custody by the Accra Circuit Court when she appeared in the court on charges of stealing cocaine. Her counsel filed an application for bail at the Human Rights Court presided by Justice Kofi Esel-Mensah. Beatrice Opong has the details.
Granting bail, Justice Esel-Mensah held that the statements of offense and the particulars of offense against DSP Tehudawi are misleading, whereas the statement of offense states that she abetted in the stealing of cocaine. The particulars of offense mentions her involvement in the loss of cocaine. Thus, the judge said, are not the same and bear no reference. Justice Esel-Mensah noted that stealing of cocaine as she has been charged is not recognized under the law and therefore not lawful, and sees no reason why the DSP's liberty should be curtailed. The judge said in curtailing one's liberty, the crime committed must be one that has to do with the offense. Principal State Attorney Anthony Rexford Redu opposed the granting of bail, citing interruption and intrusion by the husband and an uncle of DSP Tehudawi. According to Mr. Redu, his Attorney General office has information that the two have told the DSP not to cooperate with the BNI in their investigations, adding that they have also informed her that they would do everything to get her released. With this development, Mr. Redu said if DSP Tehudawi is granted bail, it will interfere with investigations. He said the charge preferred against DSP Tehudawi is not bailable since it falls under narcotic offenses. Counsel for DSP Tehudawi, however, described the charge sheet as incompetent, frivolous, and mischievous, adding that there is no charge like stealing of cocaine.
Yes, she's upon filed that report, and we will be back after this break.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional, and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. Liberians arrested 70 people near southeastern border with Cote d'Ivoire for their alleged involvement in plans to destabilize the neighboring country. Reports say a huge number of them are still hiding in Monrovia. It is believed that they are training and recruiting fighters to go against the government of Cote d'Ivoire. Sources say it is difficult to control their movement because of the large and dark forest they are operating from, adding that those arrested are a mixture of ex-militias loyal to the former president of Cote d'Ivoire, Laurent Gbagbo, and Liberian mercenaries who fought alongside them. The World Bank says global food prices are set to decline further this year as weaker world economy dampens consumer demand while food supplies rise. It warns that a possible rise in oil prices could reverse the trend. The World Bank says prices have declined steadily, but volatility has increased among staples like wheat, maize, and rice. The bank, however, warned that the steady decline in global food prices could be halted if weather patterns change or if world oil prices rise, pushing up price volatility and demand for fuel and demand for biofuels. Meanwhile, the IMF last week warned that global crude oil prices could rise as much as 30% if Iran halts exports as a result of US and European Union sanctions. A secret NATO report says the Taliban in Afghanistan is being directly assisted by Pakistani security services. The leaked report, derived from thousands of interrogations, claims that the Taliban remains defiant and has a wide support among the Afghan people. The leaked report also alleges that Pakistan knows the locations of senior Taliban leaders. Pakistan has over the years denied any links with the Taliban. Now to end the news, the main points again. The senior national team, the Black Stars, are set to face their Guinean counterparts at Fanzo as the Africa Cup of Nations enters its last round of group matches today. President Mills has assured the nation that he will not give in to homosexuality, although the international community is calling on African leaders to respect gay rights.
A surviving victim of Monday's suspected arson, which killed 5 people at Bemangu in Chimanga Kumasi, has been treated and discharged from the Comfort Nottie Teaching Hospital. And the World Bank says food prices will decline this year and food supplies will rise. However, the decline could be halted if weather patterns change or if world oil prices rise. The news was presented by Agatha Samwai-Nakra.